To mark its 400th anniversary, the library at Lambeth Palace, London residence of the Archbishops of Canterbury, is staging an exhibition of its collection's treasures, which includes some remarkably rare books and documents, a paper trail of the relationship between church and state, and rather unexpectedly, as you'll hear, also a tortoise. The current Archbishop, Dr. Rowan Williams, unveiled the exhibition yesterday under the vast vaulted ceilings of the palace's Great Hall. An ecclesiastical library, I suggested to him, has a special significance, because from the Bible through theology texts to sermons, religion makes its case through words.
It does, and I think what you see here is that the written word has never just been the written word. People have decorated it, they've done inventive and new things with it, and if you look at some of the oldest things, the Celtic Gospels that we have here, the Macdonald Gospels, then you see something of what a culture of the word can do visually as well.
I was fascinated to discover that some of them are from the Royal Collection, which haven't in fact been returned, but they've never asked for them back.
Never asked for them back, so don't tell anyone.
And this is a working library, so would you ever come here writing a sermon or for prayer to consult one of these books?
I don't usually come when I'm writing a sermon, but sometimes when I've had a lecture to write, and you know the nearest text of a classical book of some sort is here, then I'll come and use it.
Also, the sheer sense of history you get in these, the execution warrant of the Queen, we have Elizabeth I's prayer book, we have reports on King George III, his madness. It's the palpable sense of history that you have.
That's right, this is very much a thread in the whole history of Britain.
I asked you if there were particular books you consulted, and you said in general, but are there ones in particular here that mean a lot to you?
Well, of course, you have here some of the earliest printed editions of the Church Fathers, the Christian writers of the first few centuries, and that was what I used to specialise in when I was teaching. So, yes, they represent a terrific deposit of scholarship from the Renaissance and later, and using those editions, it does give you a special feel.
And right up to the present day, as we know from your own debates with writers such as Philip Pullman, the book is still used in religious debate. It's still central. There are bestsellers in America arguing against God. You've argued with some of those writers.
Indeed. I think religious writing is real writing. It's not just whistling in the dark. It's actually engaging with ideas, with images, with memories, and therefore with arguments.
And ultimately, your own poetry, your own collection, would they end up here?
Well, I think some of it will be in the archives one day, so I'll have to keep a very careful eye on what I put on paper.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. With me is Gabriel Sewell, Deputy Librarian here and Curator of this exhibition. As I was alluding to with the present Archbishop, people may be intrigued to learn that not even Archbishops are all perfect, because Archbishop Bancroft, there's a case of his books here, but they weren't strictly his, a lot of them, were they?
No, not long after his death, the Royal Librarian, Patrick Young, complained bitterly that Archbishop Bancroft had pinched, effectively, 500 books from the Royal Library, and we still have an awful lot of those here now today.
There are some remarkable books here. This is, which shows the importance always of the written word in reporting what's going on. The Apprehension and Confession of Three Notorious Witches, London, 1589. It's illustrated. It's an account, it says, of the trial and hanging of three witches at Chelmsford.
Yes, this is, I think, the only surviving copy of this, and Bancroft's collection of witchcraft literature is quite extensive and stems from his role in contemporary theological debates about possession and exorcism, in which James I also played a leading part.
And for anyone interested in literature, it's incredibly moving, this collection. This one, Cicero, this is the earliest surviving printed book to have reached England. Tell us about this one.
It was printed at Mainz by Fust and Schoeffer and brought to Bruges by Caxton's patron John Russell, Archdeacon of Berkshire, Bishop of Lincoln and Chancellor of England. And yes, the colophon here does describe the Archdeacon's purchase of the book, and it's a very, very beautiful page with the manuscript version next to it.
This one particularly fascinated me, Gabriel. We have here an Archbishop of Canterbury at the very heart of history, the malady of King George III. This is called Report on the King's Health, 1811. And this touched into Alan Bennett territory because of his film and play, The Madness of George III. But the Archbishop was head of the council who were assisting the Queen.
That's right, and the council required daily reports from physicians on the state of the King's health, and over 3,000 survived. This one is very poignant. It says that restraint was used on the king, which indicates he was put in a straitjacket and he was subjected to some pretty awful treatment. And I suppose it demonstrates the Archbishop's role as a leading figure in state and in national affairs, not simply in the religious health of the country.
The other thing you get here, which I mentioned to Dr. Williams when I was talking to him, is the... I'm not going to touch them, sorry, you just feel your hands going towards them, because these are the artefacts of history. The personal prayer book of Queen Elizabeth I we have here. We have a contemporary copy over there of the execution warrant of Mary, Queen of Scots. And there's another one over there, which is the prayer book reputed to be found in the tent of Richard III. It's amazing. I mean, Shakespeare's plays coming to life here. We have the props, really, of Shakespeare's plays.
Yes, the library is incredibly rich in material with associations with leading figures through history. Queen Elizabeth's prayer book is particularly special. It has a special prayer written for the Queen's use for safe government and good politics. We also have an awful lot of books from the library of Henry VIII, including one written during the divorce controversy with his own very angry handwriting. And there is a certain feeling of, it's very, very corny, of touching history and it being there in front of you, so...
Archbishop Laud's Tortoise we have here, and many people recognise it because there have been poems and there have been short stories and I think even a play written about this tortoise, but it is an amazing story. This belonged to an archbishop and it outlived him.
It outlived him by over a century. I think he had a pretty rocky start. He was dropped in the Thames at one stage but was rescued and survived after Archbishop Laud's execution, survived in the gardens at the palace until 1753 when he was dug up from hibernation, and that was that.
It's a very, very sad story, this guy. Well, the gardener forgot to put him back.
Yeah, I think he got quite frosty, so that was it. Yes.
Treasures of Lambeth Palace Library 400th Anniversary Exhibition 1610 to 2010 is open to the public from Monday until the 23rd of July. This is Front Row.